It has been 10 days since the horrific tragedy on the other side of our country in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 children were killed and 7 adults with them. And I imagine, like many of you, I have been searching, not so much for answers as for solace, for comfort and for hope, for something to right my listing shape. If I were a ship, I would have turtled and sunk to the lowest depths, the bottom of the pile called sorrow. However, we who are the church, we were deep into the season of Advent, the 4 weeks before Christmas, where we live with a certain hope, a hope in the sure and the certain promise that our Lord Christ will come. And when he comes, he will bring in a new age. In my search for comfort and for hope, I looked to my library shelves. I don't know why, but I always think that there is hope in books. And while I searched, I remembered something I read several years ago in a journal I subscribed to and have for 35 years, Christian Century. John Buchanan is the editor of this journal. He is retiring this year. He is a Presbyterian pastor in Chicago. But I remember he wrote an editorial about what to do in times like these. His recommendation was a good book. Not the good book, but a book so small you can read it in less than 5 minutes and it comes complete with pictures. The name of the book is deceiving. You wouldn't expect it to have much theological weight. Yet it is as deep and profoundly theological as it is whimsy. The title of the book is called Children's Letters to God, a book edited by Eric Marshall and Stuart Hample. Tom Bloom is the book's illustrator, but what really makes the book is it is a compilation of prayers written by children. And they are prayers that every person here, if you've ever prayed, ever, you will recognize these prayers. Here is a sampling of some of the prayers the children have authored. Dear God, are you invisible or is that just a trick? Lucy. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy, Joyce. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other if they had their own rooms. It works for me and my brother, Larry. In that editorial that John Buchanan wrote years ago, and the reason I remember this is because he wrote about a professor from whom I took a course at Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus, Ohio, Walter Buhmann. He wrote that the late Walter Buhmann preached a Christmas sermon from the prophet Isaiah, who is the prophet of our first reading tonight. It is taken from a protest that Isaiah made against God. Isaiah cried out to God, "O God, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, And Professor Bowman used one of the prayers in this wonderful little book called Children's Letters to God to make his point. This is a prayer by a young girl named Harriet. She prayed, "Dear God, are you real? Some people don't believe it. If you are, you better do something quick. You better do something quick." Here is a prayer that has been on the lips of every person who's ever prayed. It is the oldest and most authentic prayer in all of human history. It is as current as the most recent tragedy in Newtown. Are you real, God? Where are you, God? Why is this happening to me? Please do something already. Now, when the prophet Isaiah first cried out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down," it was his protest because he and the people of God, the Israelites, were living in exile. It was a time when God's people were ripped from their homes and their livelihoods. They were forced to live in a foreign country under a ruler who had no regard for them. You might even say it was like living in house arrest in Babylon. A long way from their beloved home in Jerusalem, a long way from the temple, the heart of their faith. In the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas that we call the Advent season, we in the church remember the Israelites in their exile, because we sing with them their song. You know it, don't you? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That Friday in Newtown, Connecticut, we, like the prophet Isaiah, were praying, "If you're real, God, you better do something, and you better do something quick." That is the situation that always prompts the desperate human prayer. Human suffering and God's role in it, or God's absence, is one of the enduring mysteries with which people of faith in every generation have struggled. The Jewish author and writer, L.A. Wiesel, questioned, "Where is God now?" He uttered it while watching a young boy being executed by the Nazis. It is asked by every human being who has ever suffered deeply. After the war, Francois Myriet interviewed Wiesel, and he wrote in the introduction to Wiesel's stunning memoir, Night, about his experience in a concentration camp. Myriet said, "And I who believe that God is love, what answer could I give my young questioner? Did I speak of that other Israeli, his brother, the crucified, whose cross has conquered the world? Did I affirm that the stumbling block to his faith was the cornerstone of mine, and the conformity between the cross and human suffering was in my eyes the key to that improbable mystery?" That most human question, "Where is God?" prompts the answer of faith. God is there. God is there as people in Isaiah's time returned to the devastated city. God is there as suffering happens, as innocents die, as disease claims its victims. God comes, God is there in the midst of it all. And that is what lies beneath all the blessed hoopla of Christmas. The idea is so big we simply don't have words adequate to express it. And so often is the case, we have to turn to poetry, art, and music, and the letters of children. Are you real? If so, you better do something quick. An ancient word's more precious every year. What God did was tear the heavens open and come down. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, God with us. But we were surprised when God came down. God came down as a baby. God came down as one like us, and as one like us who need to be cared for by us. And God is here today. Not in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary. In the bread and in the wine, God is with us. God is with us. And in being with us, we are reminded that we are not a people without hope, because God is with us, Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.